20 minutes after 5 South African time. It's a beautiful Saturday morning here in Johannesburg. Well, I want to welcome our beloved listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International. I want to welcome our beloved listeners of Merkez Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Well, today is the fifth of Shawwal, 1443. Let's welcome our beloved senior respected honorable Fadilatul Ustad this Saturday morning. Ustad, welcome to the Q&A. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussain. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri ويسر لي أمري وأحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Today is the 5th of Shawwal 1443. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wala, we focus on chapter 20, Surah Taha, verses 83 and 84. The sequence of events, the chronological table is as follows. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, Nabi Harun alayhi salatu salam was sent to the Pharaoh to invite him towards Islam. Moses, peace be upon him, Aaron, peace be upon him, was sent to the Pharaoh. But in his arrogance and pride, he refused, he rejected. Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala drowned him and his army, comrades and cronies. Thereafter, Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala informed Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, Prophet Moses, you have an appointment and you must come and you must be fasting as well, and I, Almighty Allah, will grant you the Torah, and that is the book which is the constitution of that time. So this is what Almighty Allah is speaking about here. Now Musa alayhi salam chose 70 nuqaba, 70 people among his people who will accompany him there to Mount Sinai and then to receive the Torah and so forth and so on. So we see that now he is going. Chapter 20, verse 83. وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ أَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala's knowledge is all-embracing, all-encompassing. So Almighty Allah poses the question to elevate the rank and status of Moses, Prophet Moses, Nabi Musa alayhi salam. His honorable name is mentioned the most amongst all the prophets and messengers, namely 136 times in the noble Quran. وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ أَنْ قَوْمِكَ. What makes you make so much haste? Your people, 70 of them are far behind, right behind you, and you are walking, coming so fast, O Musa alayhi salam. Ya Musa, obviously Allah knows. Call he, Moses, Nabi Musa, Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, answers, Hum ula'i ala athari, that they are behind me, and they will come and join me, O Allah. Wa ajiltu ilayka, I am rushing towards you, meaning the book which you are going to confer upon me, the Torah. So I rush towards you, Rabbi, O my sustainer, nourisher, provider, litarudah, so that you are pleased with me. Imagine, When we study the Noble Quran, we find various verses of a similar nature. Fastabiqul khayrat. When there are good deeds to be done, then you must rush towards it. Sari'u ila maghfiratim min rabbikum. Hasten towards the forgiveness of your sustainer, nourisher. Sabiqu, and compete with one another in righteous deeds. So you will find various verses like that. Few announcements we have. If you look at my broadcast group and you look at my Telegram, you will, and Twitter also, but Twitter we are restricted, but you will find most of the things that I sent out, and it's very, very interesting. Every person of justice should know this, and more so you, the Muslim, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International, and the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. There is a professor, the professor's name is Norman Finkelstein. He wrote a brilliant article, I am Israel. And then he goes on, how they murdered, how they committed war crimes, everything. I sent it out on last night on all the broadcast groups and on the Telegram, so you should read it with an open mind. These are people who are not Muslims, these are Jews. These are people whose grandparents were killed and they were murdered in the Holocaust. And then he refers to read the book of Ilan Pappei, and that is ethnic cleansing. So remember, all these are Jews. And today when they are celebrating the 74th year and anniversary of the apartheid regime of Israel, we need to show the world what they are really doing. You go to yesterday's Haaretz. These are two people, you must always read their articles. One male, one female, all Jews. One is Amira Hess and one is Gideon Levy. Amira has rights in yesterday's Haaretz that now they kicked out and evicted people, Palestinians, from 8 villages, approximately 1,000 of them. And nobody will take, make sanctions apply on Israel. So we are posing this question to the West. In 7 days, you applied sanctions on Russia, and you are increasing the tempo against them, and you are losing the war. Russia is giving you a good thrashing, and he is the new Hitler, and we support him. You carry on Putin, you put them in the right place. But I want to get back to our topic, and now you see that Amira has rights, that Israel did all this. So where is America? Where is Europe? Where are all the so-called hypocrites who speak of human rights and democracy? So where is the human rights for the Palestinians? Past 74 years, blood is on the hands of every Israeli ruler. Everyone, according to us, is a war criminal. Every one of them, the settlers, one settler, one bullet will settle many issues. And you can quote me wherever you want to. Quran Kareem states, remember chapter 17, verses 5, 6, and 7, victory is ours. Those of you who know good Arabic, you should be reading the work Haqa'iqul Quraniya Hawla Qadiyatil Falastiniya, what the Quran Kareem teaches us regarding the Palestinian issue. So that is one, inshallah. Now, what a disgusting, even I speak of it, the smell and the terrible pungent smell comes. UAE, United Arab Emirates, they are busy celebrating with Israel, and now remember they have going to their graves and all that, the Jewish soldiers and people who died, and they are showing respect to them. Can an Arab nation, a so-called Muslim nation, you all know where I stand on this issue. We say these people are not Muslim, remember that, or the rulers we speak about. So anyway, you must remember, can an Arab so-called Muslim people go lower than that? So going to now, remember the Jutlas who died in that, killing the Palestinians and so forth, robbing them, occupying their land. Occupation is terrorism, we must remember that. Second issue is tomorrow the Western world, the satanic world of the West, they will say that it is Mother's Day. For us, every day is Mother's Day. Oh, you Muslim son, Muslim daughter, go to your beloved mother, kiss her hand, kiss her forehead, and tell her, oh, Ummi, I love you. You see, Tuesday was Eid. So I went to Heidelberg. After lunch, I went to the graveyard with my nephews and grandnephews and so forth and so on. So when I went there, so I was reading and they all could hear, I'm sobbing, I'm crying by my mother's grave. 25 years have passed, but we can never forget. For us, every day is Mother's Day. Remember that. And please your mother. Now we come to the topic of the day, Raveen Mudli. I hope you are listening to me, my brother. Please your mother, please, I appeal to you humbly, that have mercy on your mother. She embraced Islam, 103 years old yesterday. She wants to come by us. Please give her permission. Send us all the information. We will make her very comfortable. You can visit her every day. We got no problem with that. You, your brothers, sisters, we don't want that you must feel we are going to deprive you. Never. We'll never do that. So please, I beg you, I appeal to you, my brother Raveen, that send us your details and we will not announce it on air, and send it on my personal WhatsApp number 071-888-1184. I don't even have my phone here. 071-888-1184. Or you can send it to our tablet, our WhatsApp number there, 084-786-3132. Please, Raveen, make your mother happy. Let she leave this world in peace. And she found the light and peace in Islam. So I appeal to you, the Mudli family, do not become the people who will disappoint your mother in her twilight years. You know that she is a matter of time now, 103 years. So we don't know who will go first. But I promise you one thing, Raveen, that if you give us your details and so forth, then, and mummy, wherever she is in Durban, I am coming to Durban end of May. I personally will come with my wife and I want to visit mummy. Please, my brother, I beg you, Amen. So that your mother can find peace. And we never ever promote violence. We never ever promote taking the law in our own hands. We are the people of advocating peace and nur and radiance and effulgence of Islam. I am not here to defend Muslims. I am here to propagate true Islam and defend Islam. Amen. So I appeal to you once again, Raveen, please send us your address, where your mom is, and we will make all the arrangements today. And you know that she will be very, very comfortable. That much I promise you. So all of you Muslims, non-Muslims, make dua that sanity prevails. Dua means we supplicate to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala that she finds total peace. Ameen. And she can meet Almighty Allah and she passes away with Iman. Ameen. And Islam. Everything end of the day is in the hands of Almighty Allah. My brother Raveen, one word. I'm not supposed to tell you, but anyway. You see, we wake up early and we beg, we pray. So I prayed for you also. That I know you told me what you told me yesterday. Mom is dead for you and so forth. Maybe you were emotional. But remember that we pray for everybody, even the Jutlas. Although they're murdering my brothers and sisters and children. That is what we do. That we pray for humanity. Whoever Almighty Allah selects, he will select whoever he wants to. Nobody can take it away from you. Watu izzu man tashaa, watu zillu man tashaa. He gives honor to whoever he wishes. He does graces whoever he wishes. Look at this Arab temple dictators. They are the murtads and apostates and traitors to the world. And how humiliated they are. But they're sitting with million, billion, trillion dollars. So we got nothing to do with them. For them we say, lakum dinukum waliyadeen. For you is your so-called religion. For us is Islam. So that is where we stand, my brother Raveen. And the Mudli family, please, is for your mother's sake. Do us that favor and hand her over to us, and we will take great care of her. Please, once again, in the name of God, we ask you that please hand her over to us.
Allahu Akbar. I see you bringing tears in the listeners' eyes, Ustad. Let's start with Sister Bridget. She's praising the Merkaz Sahaba team in Radio Al Ansar. She says you guys are doing fantastic work. She wants to know, Ustad, Sister Bridget, you guys pray 5 times a day. Tell me, what do you gain from it? My name is Bridget, Ustad.
My sister Bridget, thank you for all the prayers and compliments. Now, let me give you a logical answer, right? You want to know, what do we benefit? You see, I'm going for prayer 6 o'clock to the mosque, right? So we read 2 units, 2 rakats, compulsory. Why? I thank Almighty Allah, and every Muslim thanks Almighty Allah for the sense of touching. I am here in the studio live, and there's a table in front of me. I'm placing my hand, so I can tell you whether it is hot or whether it's cold or what have you. So we thank Almighty Allah for the sense of touching. Then 1 o'clock, 1:30 or so, we pray another prayer, 4 units compulsory. We thank Almighty Allah for the sense of hearing. We can hear from all 4 directions. Then when in the late afternoon, 4 o'clock, 4:30, we pray, you must remember, 4 units again compulsory, for the sense of smelling. When my wife cooks the akni on a Friday, you know, our special dish. So whilst I'm climbing on top to my house, you know, from downstairs upstairs, the aroma is coming. If I put on a nice perfume and itter and fragrance, so everybody knows from where did you get this. So from all 4 sides, we can then smell the aroma and so forth. Then the fourth one will be after sunset. We read 3 units and 3 rakats. We thank Almighty Allah, my sister Bridget, for the sense of sight. We can see in front, at the right, at the left. We can't see behind. Did you ever think of that, my brother Bridget? And then the fifth one is that 8 o'clock, 8:30, before we sleep, then we read 4 units, you must remember. Why do we read that? The sense of taste, all the solids, liquids, either it's sweet, either it's sour, either it's bitter, either it's salty. That is the logical reason. And the greater reason, my sister Bridget, you see, this human being is the masterpiece of Almighty Allah's creation. So you have Zionism, you have capitalism, you have socialism, communism, and secularism. So all these democracy, all these are satanic systems. They all worry only about your physical side. But Islam says, no, we want to give you something which will take care of your physical and of your spiritual being. So because of the spiritual being, why do so many people commit suicide? Go and see in America how many people committing suicide. Go and see in Israel, the apartheid terrorist regime, how many people committing suicide. Because they cannot live with the shame of murdering the Palestinians. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, Allah bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. In the remembrance of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, then the hearts will find peace, they will find contentment. So that is what you need to know, my sister Bridget. Today is Saturday weekend, right? You are a mother. You should be sharing this with your beloved children and flowers. Chapter 13, the chapter Raad, Surah Raad on Sunday, and verse number 28. Chapter 13, verse 28. How come, children, we can't find peace today? There is a certain thing which is missing. There's a vacuum in our life. We are eating, we are drinking, we have the greatest gadgets, computers, cell phones, and what have you, but still a certain element is missing, and that is the spiritual nourishment. And that is what Islam brings. Chapter 13, verse 28. Allah guide you, bless Ameen. You, my sister Bridget.
Ameen. Somebody says there was a program last night playing on the radio at about 11 p.m. with regards to riba. Is it possible to receive the podcast, Ustaz?
Remember, just tell us what time it was and so forth, and inshallah, you know it's weekend now, so on weekend we have skeleton staff, so Monday, Tuesday, just send it again to us with your details, and then inshallah we will tell the engineer that they must receive who was, whose lecture it was and so forth. Anyway, simple answer is this for you, my brother or sister, go to the Noble Quran, chapter 2, surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verses 275 to 279, and see what Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks about riba, interest, sood, viaj. I told you in various languages. Surah chapter 2, verse 279, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا. If you do not abstain, refrain from interest, the capitalistic system, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. Be prepared for a war against Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is what the Jews have mastered in. So you must remember, the interest is haram in the Torah, but they opened the back door, and that is one of the reasons, remember, that Hitler took action against them. The exorbitant interest rates and the pornography and homosexuality, there were many other things. I am not saying whatever he did was correct, but we must give the correct story and not the propaganda.
I've got your brother Rowan Ustad, R-O-W-A-N. He says that I am a mechanic, AK, and if I complete my job and it happened that I pass away, I die, then who does my money go to? I have a very lazy, spoiled son and a wife. Rowan Ustad.
Islamically, my brother Rowan, because you're asking me, I don't know whether your beloved parents are alive or not, but I'll give you both sides of the permutations. You pass away with Rowan as a mechanic, right? And then you have your surviving heirs are your wife and your beloved son. So your wife will get 12.5% and the 87.5% will go to your beloved son. That is what Islam teaches us. But before that from your money and your estate, it will be used for the burial, funeral expenses, for the debts you owe me and everybody else. Obviously, this example I'm giving. Third one, wasiyah, what you bequeath for non-heirs, maximum one third. And then the shares of the heirs, 12.5% for your beloved wife, and then 87.5% for your beloved son. If your parents are alive, then the shares will work like this. So remember, 12.5% for your wife, and then 1/6, 1/6 were for your parents. That means collectively one third, and then the residue remainder will go to your son. So that is how it works. Now you, Rowan, you know, you told me you're a mechanic. So now I like to tell stories. You see, there was a husband and wife. It's a weekend, so let me tell you a quick story. So this mechanic, now he had hundreds of names on this contacts in his phone, cell phone. So one day the wife went there and she saw a gorgeous lady. So she said, what? And she phoned. And remember, it was his sister. Then he had beautiful lady. So she phoned and her phone rang. And then he had honorable lady. And then the mother's phone rang. Then she went to her husband and said, darling, sorry man, I misjudged you. You know that you had all this name, gorgeous lady, beautiful lady, honorable lady. So therefore, take this money, man, forgive me. So he took that money, filled up his tank, and then he had his girlfriend's name and mechanic, you see. So he took his mechanic for a ride and a spin. You understood, Rowan? So I hope you like that story. In Islam, is haram, that obviously not permissible. So sometimes mechanic can be dangerous, my brother Rowan.
I see Rowan's having a good laugh, Ustad. Ustad, so Saranel says, have you heard the Americans in Jerusalem are helping kicking out the Palestinians? How true is that, Sister Ronel?
100%. You must remember, I sent it to our news team yesterday, and I told our brother Suleiman Esop, he will render the news flash. I told him, include that in today's news. You must remember, Renal, I don't know, I don't think so, you've been to apartheid rogue regime of Israel. That's the impression. sensation, perception I get. Because when a person has been there, you will see the apartheid worse than the apartheid we experience in South Africa. I can be biased, I'm a Muslim, but we know what is apartheid. We were born in apartheid and so forth. The point I want to make is this. Go ask Tutu and his family and them, they will tell you. Yet they were the people who were sick in the struggle. And that's a different story than what is happening now, you know. A comedy of errors and so forth. Anyway, so the apartheid, what is going on now by the rogue apartheid terrorist regime of Israel is worse than apartheid in South Africa. You must be an idiot not to see that. So anyway, majority of the Israelis have dual passport. Remember that. Many of them will have the South African passport, Israeli passport, American passport, Jewish, that Israeli passport, Canadian, Australian. Like that they operate. So you must remember, 100% true it is that they say that now this is our land. So we can evict anybody and so forth. And that is what India is doing now, learning from their teacher, the crooked teacher, and I, apartheid Israel, apartheid India, and Almighty Allah has warned us about them in the Noble Quran, in chapter 5, verse 82. We never ever say that all the Jews or all the Hindus, nay. We say majority of what is happening in Israel, and majority of what is happening in India. So you need to understand the context in which we are speaking.
I see somebody from Kronstadt says, Mufti Sahib, where in the world is Bennett? Ustad?
So remember, Bennett is the person who said that he killed and murdered many Palestinians. There's no problem in it. So if the Palestinians send the Jutla and the Jew to hell, so there's no problem in that. Islamically, you are at war with your enemy. So you must remember, but yet, Rahmatulil Alameen, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a wonderful, beautiful lesson. And what is that lesson? It is the month of Muharram, the first month of the Islamic lunar year. It's 7 years after the Hijrah and the migration to Medina Munawwara. 150 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara is a place called Khaybar. We've been there. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This side are the Muslims. And Fatih Khaybar is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He played a prominent role in that battle. And on the other side were the Jutlas, the Jews, and so forth. So therefore, that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed him for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu warda, ya Ali, that la ayyahad, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, la ayyahadi allahu bika rajulan wahida. One person embraces Islam because of your effort, you invited him and so forth. Then is khairul laka min humrin nam, is better for you than the red camels, is better for you than all the red Ferraris and Bentleys and Rolls Royce and Cadillacs and all. So open Bukhari Muslim, you will find it. So therefore we say we must present Islam. See, in this week alone, we are non-entities, we are sinners, we are good for nothing, but it is the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. On Eid day with Brother Junaid Mota, that remember three people embrace Islam. And then yesterday, 103 years old mother Raveen, we're still waiting, inshallah, please send us the details. And we will not announce anything. So remember that. The point I want to make here is this. We will first invite people towards Islam. And then when they don't listen, then we will say, fine, this is our country, you stay here, you pay us tax. If you don't want, then the war starts. So that's exactly when you invade our country, that Americans, they invaded Iraq. And who is responsible for that? Who's going to pay for all the war crimes? You must remember that. For America, there's a different law. And for other countries, different law. When they invaded Iraq, everybody must keep quiet. When Russia invades Ukraine, everybody must apply sanctions. Shame on you, America. And Guantanamo Bay is a stain on your democracy. My doctor, after Safiya Siddiqui, she is in the hellhole there, a stain on you, and you will pay for it. Remember that in this world and in the year after. So that is where we are. So the point we are saying, Islam is not the religion that trigger happy and just shoots people. Nay, we invite people and fulfill our duty with beauty.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Somebody says here, Mufti Sahib, if a very pious Mufti in our community lays out laws and fatwas, like Imam Malik, Shafi, etc., can we follow his teachings like the other four Imams, Ustaz?
No, you can't do that in this day and this age. You must remember the champion in those days was Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. So he's a great scholar, and Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Nadwi wrote a great book on him, Saviors of the Islamic Spirit. All of you should read it, volume 2. It's in Arabic, Urdu, English, volume 2 in English on Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. His student is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, his celebrated student. Then he celebrated student is Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. So you must remember Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, the author of Lataif al-Ma'arif, wrote the book which I have by me, Ar-Raddu ala man ittaba'a ghayr al-madahib al-arba'a. We refute and reject, whether it is Mufti, Grand Mufti, Maulana, Imam, Sheikh of this day, that when he passes a fatwa against, you must remember the four schools. Like you get the jahil idiots of today. So when we say there's ijma and consensus on Taraweeh of 20 rakats, they go to some obscure verdict of the Hanafis and say, no, some Hanafis said 8 rakats, 10 rakats. When you discuss fiqh, you have to look at the fatwa. You don't go look at what he said and he said. So the fatwa and the verdict is that all four schools, Imam Malik mentioned this, he mentioned this, but what is the fatwa of the Maliki school? Is 20 rakats and 16 rakats individually, 36 rakats. So everyone agrees on 20 rakats. So now you want to come and say that no, it's 8 rakat, 10 rakat. So that is rejected with the contempt it deserves. A person like that is exposing his jahalat and ignorance. Remember that. So this was written by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, that people who follow any school beside the four schools, we will refute them and reject them. So what you are, which Molvi, Imam, Mufti? Today the Muftis in the Arab countries, Muslim countries, are appointed by the government of the day, the state employees. So who will speak the truth? Which, you think the Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia can speak against them? You think the Mufti of Emirates can speak against them? You think the Mufti of Bahrain, Morocco can speak? They're all scholars for dollars. They're on the take. You must remember that. So therefore, you must remember, therefore we say the Amman Accord is not worth the paper on which is written. The Cape Accord is not worth the paper on which is written. These are agents, you must remember. We are here to defend the deen of Islam. And we are not here, you must remember, to come and curry favor with people. So what you are suggesting, that a person comes this day, he'll start his fifth mazhab and so forth, that is totally rejected and unacceptable.
I see you've got a sister from Cape Town, Ustaz, T.T. Jasmine, yes, me know Jasmine. She says, when is Mufti Sahib coming again to Cape Town, Ustaz?
Capstad, mashallah. Inshallah, one day we will come make dua for us. G, last question.
This is Viraj in Yuvraj. He says, see ya, AK. We went to visit India where we saw some graves of some prophets. Their bodies, or rather should I say, the graves are very, very long. My question is, why are these graves not enclosed like Prophet Muhammad, etc.? Viraj and Yuvraj, Ustad.
So thank you, my brothers, Viraj and Yuvraj, that number one, we must remember this. This is what we say, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, alright? So you must remember that no prophet's grave, we can say 100% that this is the grave of this prophet, that prophet, except Prophet Muhammad, Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ourselves, when we go to Palestine, we go to Jordan, we go year we go there. So we will tell the people that the ulama have written that this is the grave of Prophet Abraham, Prophet Jacob, Isaac and Jacob and so forth and so. But we can't say 100%. We will say most probably that is the verdict of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Now to say there are prophets and so forth there in India and all that, that is, remember, is a subjective, remember. Some ulama will say, ulama means scholars will say it is authentic, some will say it's not authentic. So that's one. Second one, that any person who visits the Middle East and so forth, you will find the graves are very, very long. You understand? 10 meters, 20 meters, 30 meters. So what happened was, every ruler, every king that came in those days, he felt that let me make some contribution, so he extended the grave and so forth. But it's not authentic to say you must remember that this is the Prophet's grave, this is the Prophet's grave. This is more, my brother, speculation compared to, you must remember, being authentic. Okay, last 2-3 announcements. I will be in Trihat tonight after Isha. Isha Jamaat Day is 7:15. There will be a program in the masjid, inshallah, in Trihat, Pumalanga. Second one is this, my brother Suleiman Esop will start and continue what is Naat Qiraat today between 6 and 8. And my brother Rajiv, that we hope and pray. Raveen, you must remember, I hope you send something to us. Oh, Almighty Allah, bless you and guide you.
Ameen.
And let mummy come to us so she can be in absolute peace, my brother. Allah Ta'ala guide all of you. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.